This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Food and Drug Administration has recently approved a new type of non-opioid painkiller to treat moderate to severe acute pain, according to the agency. Experts are hopeful about this, but there's still some unanswered questions, and here to talk to us about it is Dr. Mordecai Potash, pain specialist, Tulane program director, and lead psychiatrist for substance abuse treatment services, Southeast Louisiana Veterans Healthcare Services as well. Dr. Potash, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Thank you so much. And I know my name and title is quite a mouthful, and you did an excellent job of pretty much hitting it out of the park on the first try. So all the Mordecai Potashes out there, thank you.
There is frequent in numbers Newells out there. There's not many of those.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when the thing, like, if your name is Newell Norman or Mordecai Potash, when you were in elementary school and the teacher shouted out your name, you didn't have to look around like, oh, me? No. Is it me? Is it me? No, it's you, buddy. It's you. You're in trouble.
Absolutely. That confused look was of no use or purpose. Right?
Exactly. All the Johns, Jeffs, and Stevens out there got away with it, but the Mordecais and the Newells had no chance.
No such luck. All right. So a new type of non-opioid painkiller. Obviously,
right.
We all know the downside of opioid substance abuse in this country. So tell us about this new drug.
Yeah, for sure, Newell. Now, first, I want to start by saying, of course, I have no connection, professional or financial, with the makers of this drug, Journavax, Journavax. And, so I don't have any sort of financial stake in any of this. And I think that's important to tell the listeners, you know, because listeners need to know, especially when a doctor talks about any sort of medication, like, you know, okay, did the pharmaceutical company give you stock in the medicine in exchange for your talk, or are you getting a fee from the company in order to talk about the medicine? And for me, it's neither. As you said, I direct substance use treatment for the New Orleans VA, and calling it the New Orleans VA is a misnomer because it's really Southeast Louisiana VA, because we touch everything from the Texas state line to the Mississippi state line, a little bit from Alexandria down into the Gulf of Mexico or Gulf of America, however you want to call it. that's as far down as we go. So, you know, like I have seen these issues from the pain management side, because I used to be the president of the Southern Pain Society, as well as the substance use side. So I've really seen both sides of the coin. And the first thing I want to say is exactly what you said. If your listeners just go to the website, just spell out the name of the medicine, JournaVax, and go to the website, the first thing that hits them is like, hey, it's a non-opioid medication. Fantastic. We need more of them. But then it says to treat adults with moderate to severe acute pain. And that's very important because, I would venture that a good number of your listeners suffer with chronic pain, and they are looking for new options for their chronic pain, because it has been just a terrible, terrible situation for the last 20 years with the OxyContin crisis and crisis with other opiate medicines. But on the other hand, people are saying, like, look, I deserve to get some degree of relief here, and I've tried everything else other than opiates, and they just don't work. And so, you know, like, I'm not abusing it. I would like to continue to have access to this medicine that lets me carry out my day without so much pain, which lets me sleep at night without waking up in severe pain. So with JournaVax, it's really important that, let me just say, everybody's familiar. Everyone's gotten a prescription, and they open up the prescription, and this piece of paper pops out, right? It's all folded up in this, like, tiny, very thin paper, and they open it up, and it's, like, tiny, like, micro writing about the medicine. And nobody can make sense of it. Nobody reads it. Everyone throws it away, but that's kind of the agreement that the drug manufacturer had with the Food and Drug Administration to make this medicine legally available. So as both a physician and a scientist, I can read those tiny inserts and make sense of them. And I just want to share some of that with your listeners, and then they can make their own choice. So what's important to say is that there were three studies that got JournaVax approved. Two of them were critical. And in both studies, what happened was patients got a procedure. In the first study, they got a tummy tuck, you know, like a tummy tuck that everyone knows, you know, like, hey, I'm getting older. I'd like to look like I did when I was 20 and get a tummy tuck. So they had about 1,200, I think it was 1,178 patients who got a tummy tuck. And some of them got JournaVax after the tummy tuck. Some of them got what most listeners know as Lorset, which is hydrocodone with Tylenol. So they got 5 milligrams of hydrocodone and a regular Tylenol every 6 hours. So some patients got that. And then some patients got placebo. So what's a placebo? Easiest way to describe it is it's a sugar pill. And I sent this to you, Newell, and I'm sure you took a look at it, that there's a graph of how patients did. And the first thing you notice is, like, hey, they monitored patients for 48 hours, for 2 days, okay? And over those 2 days, the JournaVax patient's pain diminished. However, the patients also getting hydrocodone acetaminophen diminished just as well. you know, like no better, no worse. It's almost the same. And lastly, the patients that got the sugar pill, that got the placebo, they also got better. You know, they weren't actually even getting medicine, and they got better. And that's not surprising because the people in the study, they got a tummy tuck, and it's going to hurt for a couple of days, but then the pain is going to fade away. You know, like most people have a procedure, they're in pain for a couple of days, and then it gets better. And that's what happened here. Now, last thing I want to say about that study, and this is really important, this is kind of in the fine print, that tiny, tiny print, is that all three groups were offered Advil throughout the study. So if you got the Journovax and you were still in pain, you could take Advil with it. So looking at the graph, you have to keep in mind, like, okay, even the Journovax patients got Advil. The hydrocodone patients got Advil. The placebo patients got Advil. The Journovax patients got Advil. So it's not like Journovax did all the heavy lifting by itself. So that's the first study. And I'll just stop there, Newell, to see if you have any kind of feedback or.
No, I just want to say that we need to move it along because we want to get to end game trial two.
Yeah, so let me just say like that the end game is that the makers of Journovax did a good job of showing that their medicine works for acute pain, okay? But if a person is struggling with chronic pain, there really hasn't been anything done with Journovax that would say this is going to work over the long term. So that's the important thing, you know? And then they have to take into account the cost too. You know, that right now, if you were to just pay with your Visa for 30 tablets of Journovax, it'd be about $465. So, you know, you do. Now, of course, if your insurance picks up part of it, you know, that's incredible. But then again, it depends what tier it's in. And depending on the tier, your copay can go up pretty strikingly. So people have to know what the cost is and what the benefits are so they can make the best decision for themselves.
So how does it compare to other non-opioid options? Advil, Naprosyn, Celebrex,
exactly.
I mean, there's all kinds of products out there for acute pain.
Exactly. As far as the makers of Journovax have done, the Celebrex, the Naprosyns work just as well as Journovax. But there's nothing in the studies that show that Journovax works better than them.
Some of these have a higher propensity for liver or kidney damage. Also, some present gastro problems. Where does Journovax fall on that spectrum?
The reason
all of this is important, right, is that it's being marketed as the non-opioid,
entry to the
market. It is, but it comes at a cost. I mean, and
right.
You know, when you talk about $465. For
30-day
supply, it's $15.50 a tablet.
Actually, 30 tablets would be a 15-day supply. It would just be a 2-week supply. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's right. So you take it twice a day. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So
where does it fall on? Go ahead.
It does have a really good risk profile. You know, as far as anyone knows, it's excellent as far as not being toxic to the liver or the kidneys or any other organ in the body. So that is, as far as anyone knows, Journovax is a great deal as far as your organs, you know, like, and you and I know that patients that take anti-inflammatories for a long time can develop liver and kidney issues. The studies on Journovax showed so far that it's safe for the liver and the kidneys, but also preface that no one, not the makers of Journovax and not anyone else, has done a long-term study. But the short-term data is very good.
So, and I'm trying to figure out how to ask this question.
Yeah,
the right way. Oh, so how is this different than when we talk about how is it blocking the pain?
Right.
Is that different than Advil or Celebrex or, you know, Naprosyn?
Right.
Or even
right.
even the case of the opioids.
Right. And Newell, you hit it on the head in that Journovax is the very first medicine that uses a new blockade of pain signaling called the NaV1.8 sodium channel. There's been research in this for decades, and Journovax is the first product to be released that actually utilizes all that research. So it's a brand new category of non-opiates. It is not in the same category as Advil or Celebrex or Naprosyn. It's in a category all by itself.
So how does it end up really blocking that transmission of pain
signals?
So
what scientists found out was that there were a bunch of different sodium channels in the spinal cord that were involved in communicating pain signals. You know, like that your average pain signal has to go through several different nerves before it gets to the brain and where you perceive the pain. And the makers of Journovax and other researchers found hey, this particular sodium channel is very highly involved in that pain highway. And if we block that, in a sense, we take away one of the major highways of pain signaling. And that's exactly what it does. So it's kind of like a big auto accident on the freeway that totally stops traffic from going through. So that's what Journovax does. It totally stops pain signaling from going through, and that sounds very exciting. It really does. It does. But what remains to be seen is, is that the only pain signaling that goes through the spinal cord? And just how important are those pain signals? And we just don't have long-term information about that. We don't. We don't have it because it just hasn't been out long.
What do we know as known side effects?
Yeah. So
real quick, we only have a minute.
Known side effects. There was just a couple of known side effects. You know, and itchiness was a big one, or what they call pruritus. Itchiness was a big one. Also, people sometimes developed a rash, a very noticeable rash, but there was no indication that rash was, something terrible you know, like your skin was going to fall off or something else. It was just a rash. So you got itchiness, you got a rash, and some people also complained that they had muscle spasms that also were not very severe. So JourneVax's side effects were pretty dang mild.
So there's hope then, and this is a whole new landscape and maybe a whole new opportunity, right, for us.
Right.
And I got to imagine when you overlay AI on top of this, what research has been done already, we may have additional answers in the research right now that we're just not aware of.
That's possible. And I think, like, that there might be, well, one thing that the FDA is going to automatically do is that they're going to monitor for any sort of side effects that get reported to them. And that is actually what sounded the alarm on OxyContin was all these people started to call and say, like, hey, my husband got addicted to this medicine. My wife got addicted. I got addicted. Right. And all these complaints went to the FDA, and the FDA said, okay, we have to meet about this because we are getting all these serious, serious complaints. And they call that post.
So, Doc, I got to interrupt you. I got to get to a break. Yeah. We appreciate you joining us today, Dr. Mordecai Potash, pain specialist, Tulane program director, and lead psychiatrist for substance abuse treatment services at Southeast Louisiana Veterans Healthcare Services. Thank you so much for your time, your insight. Truly appreciate it. Alrighty, thank you so much. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Mark Earhart, president of the Earhart Group. And every January, their Gulf South Index team, they sit down and they write their first article of the year, thinking about what's on the horizon, what is the new landscape for 2025. And as he has pointed out to me several times, it seems to work in a collection of 30-day cycles. Things are moving fast. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. It's good to be with you.
Yes, I hope everything is going well for you, and Happy New Year to you. It's been a while since we talked. I was reading through your letter, and you know, you've repeated it again, and you're so right about social media, how things are changing, news cycles, the channels that you get news in. It really does seem like a collection of maybe weekly or maybe even monthly little bitty mini cycles throughout the year, right?
Well, that's exactly right, and I would say that the cycles are getting even shorter. And so over the last year, there's been a couple of things we started looking at in our daily work. First is the speed at which information is shared and how quickly that information is shared and how quickly it goes away. And then the second part is the volume of information that we are faced with and that we're bombarded with every day, and how that impacts how regular folks make decisions. And so when you look at it in a given day, a human will make between 33,000 and 35,000 decisions in a day. That goes from, you know, when you wake up in the morning, what you eat for breakfast, all the way to major life-changing decisions about asking someone to be our life partner, or a spouse, get married, having children, whether I like my job or I don't, or whether, you know, I need to bring on more people to my business or let some people go. We are 33 to 35,000 decisions we're making every day. And then on top of which, we're getting bombarded with thousands and thousands of data points and information and things we watch, read, listen to, and share. And so what we're starting to look at is how quickly do stories come up? And then how quickly do they go away? And what does that mean as we communicate with each other, especially if you're a business or a product that has to break through all of that noise?
Mark, maybe you just explained why I'm so damn tired every day.
I think I've said this before as we've talked and things, and I say it quite frequently, you know, Gertrude Stein said a long time ago, you know, we get so much information, we lose our common sense. And, you know, Google put out something at the beginning of this year. And so this was before even everything that happened in New Orleans in January 1st and everything that's happened since. And they graphed out the trends in search terms and throughout the year in 2024, and they continue to do it into 2025. And I got to tell you, there were things that I looked at as search trends I didn't even remember that happened. And what happens in cases nationally, about like this time last year, the Baltimore bridge collapse occurred, and the rate of searches, man, just spiked like a meteor, because the bridge was there one day and then the next morning it wasn't, and it was horrible and tragic. And so the search terms and people's interest in it followed the same pattern. Well, by the time now, that issue is still important to the people of Baltimore and the Mid-Atlantic, but when you look at the United States, that story came and went almost as quickly as it came. Like it just was there and then it wasn't. And Sam Bankman-Fried, who there may be most people that are listening right now and be like, I don't even know who that guy is. You know, he was the guy who founded Crypto.com. He got sentenced. Well, we haven't even thought about him in months, and people aren't even looking for it. And then as the year progressed, you know, Mike Tyson came at the end of the year and then went because he had a fight, lost the fight, and it disappeared. And so in very rare instances now are stories sticking around. And because there's so many things competing for our attention and so many ways for us to get the information that we're looking for.
Mark, does that help explain why we have this notion, I think that's more prevalent in political circles, that it's really not a lot of accountability? Because I don't know that we are truly engaged in meaningful consumption. And what I mean by that is that we consume, you know, a happenstance, an event that happens, maybe a vote in Congress or an issue that's before Congress, and we're not really totally engaged in following through, following up as to what the outcome is going to be.
Well, I think you're going on to a very good point. Because of the number of decisions we have to make, it's in human nature where we just lean on things that we already know and just are like, yeah, I know that already. And so, or people we trust, and we go, okay, well, if that guy thinks or that person thinks that this is a good idea, I'm good with that. Regardless of whether that person is correct or not, we have trust in the individual. And then by virtue of us trusting the individual, we just trust them, you know, oh yeah, okay, if that person thinks that way, then I'm good. And the difficulty about that is, we're starting to let that type of approach of like, you know, look, I don't, you know, and I'm speaking hypothetically, let's say I eat oatmeal. This morning I had oatmeal with blueberries for breakfast. And I just go, every morning I have oatmeal with blueberries for breakfast because it just makes my life easier. I don't have to think about it. Well, if we apply that same approach to major life decisions in terms of who we support, what information we find credible and what we don't, and whether what we find credible is actually credible or not, and we don't ever test it, it's troublesome. We're turning over too much of our individual authority to other people and not paying attention to the decisions that they make. And it's, you know, it's a problem, because what we also do is we hate change. Human beings, and I would venture to say New Orleanians, hate change. We don't like it. And we will hold on to things. We will hold on to a bad hand, knowing it's a bad hand, because we are uncertain about the hand we might get dealt. And I think that extends, that type of behavior and thinking can extend into the political process and people we select to lead us.
Has that kind of contributed and helped perpetuate confirmation bias, for example?
Sure. I mean, I have this in front of me because I thought we may get into this. There's a professor, his name's Philip Tetlock, and he said, we need to believe we live in a predictable, controllable world. And we like predictability. We like certainty, right? We like certainty. Tell me that you will make this happen for me. And, you know, if I'm certain that you can make that happen for me, then I'll be with you. But if there's any bit of uncertainty, I'm off. I'm going in another direction, or I'll stick with the status quo. And, you know, I think when you take something like that and you look at something like the Super Bowl and the effort around the Super Bowl and what this community did in every corner of the community, from the way we greeted people, that came here, and you can go even to Taylor Swift, and you look at the way we greeted people who came here and the experiences of those people and when they were with us, what we did as a city in terms of infrastructure, in terms of marketing, in terms of all these different things that were things that we could rally around, that sense of common spirit, that sense of being in it together, it led to positive results. But what we before then, our tendency is to just say, well, we know how it's going to end up anyway, so let's just sort of keep moving along. We're being told as residents of the region at different points, well, you just have to understand that's just the way things are now. And that's really not the case. We can determine as humans the information we share, the types of things and how we hold different leaders and businesses and elected officials accountable. We have the ability to hold them accountable by saying, I'm going to pay attention to whether you get this right or wrong, and I'm going to pay attention to whether you do the things you say you're going to do.
We got to get to a break. We're visiting with Mark Earhart, president of the Earhart Group. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Mark Earhart, president of the Earhart Group, and we've been talking about news, how folks go about consuming same. One of the observations, Mark, that you make in your opening letter for 2025 is almost 4 in 10 U.S. adults under 30 get news from news influencers. And my question is, news influencers are opinion people, right? They're not reporting news.
Right. That's right. So and it varies from generation to generation. So when you and some of this is built out of where we are as a society now and how we consume information and share information and how we decide who to believe. So if you go back into the 50 years ago, we were dealing with the situation in Vietnam, all these other things in the United States around civil rights, all these really big issues. The most trusted person in America 50 years ago was Walter Cronkite, and who was a journalist, right? And I know you know that, and I know that, but there are people listening who go, who in the world is Walter Cronkite? But the most trusted person in America was a journalist. And in the decades since, what we would consider traditional news media has changed. And the level of trust in the news media has wavered because there are so many other platforms now where individuals can just decide, look, if I believe this one thing, I'm only going to read about this, and or I'm only going to watch videos about that. And what ends up happening is before, when you had TV or the newspaper or radio and you were listening throughout the day, you were subjected to what the media outlet was reporting to you. And it was news from across the world. So you wouldn't hear anything about Ukraine in general except when it was on the news. Well, now you can go find it anywhere, and not only find it anywhere, you can have certain people give you their perspective. And that's a news influencer. A news influencer doesn't necessarily work for a credentialed media outlet. It could be Mark Earhart. And I just start doing videos on what I think about Russia and Ukraine or what I think about bagels or whatever. And I just start offering my opinion, and I say things that that gets me promoted through the algorithm, and I start saying crazy things potentially, or I say really smart things and people start listening to me. And what we start looking at in something like TikTok, which is all user generated content, is that you have huge amounts of content being created, and the algorithm of TikTok narrows that content to what it wants you to see or what you've expressed interest in. And so whether that news influencer knows what they're talking about or whether they're a complete moron, you really don't know. You have to judge for yourself. TikTok's not doing it for you. And that creates openings for a lot of misinformation and misperception to be pushed out there, even when people don't think it's happening to them.
You finish up your article talking about things that really haven't changed much, right? And one of those observations is family seems to be pretty consistent in the way that we view the importance of the familial unit in our society.
And I think that I'm really glad we're talking about this, and I guess and sort of sum things up. In Jerry Maguire, the movie, you know, the guy that Jerry Maguire represented, who's an NFL wide receiver, you know, they're yelling at each other. Jerry and Rod are yelling at each other, and Rod says, "Jerry, you think we're fighting? I think we're finally talking." That's one of the things that we're trying to get out there now, is more and more we have more in common than we do differently. And in our own studies in the Gulf South Index, there are certain things that just carry. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter how old you are. There are certain things that we all hold consistent in terms of what's important to us. And in the Gulf South, family is right at the top. 88% of us think that that family is somewhat or very important. But when you look nationally, 82% of people nationally think family is important. Hard work and the value of hard work. Well, 9 out of 10 of us believe in the value of hard work in the Gulf South. And nationally, 81% of us, 8 out of 10, believe in the value of hard work. When we start talking about community, 8 out of 10 people in the Gulf South believe in the value of community, 7.5 out of 10 nationally. So when we start looking around and we have tendencies to divide ourselves in terms of, well, they live over here in that state, so, you know, I don't agree with what they're talking about. I don't agree with what they're saying. But if they live over here, I agree with them. Really, when we get down to the core of it, the things that are the most important to us, we all have in common. And it's hard work, tolerance for others, our family, community, patriotism. Patriotism is something that's important to all of us, and no matter where you live. Now, our definition of what patriotism is probably up for debate, right? That's where we sort of get a little dicey. But the idea of America being a great place is something that we all believe. And I think as we move forward, right, and we start talking about how do we talk to each other, you know, especially for organizations and institutions, the first thing that we all need to remember is a better world begins with a better me, right? Like, the economy is real important to people. You know, my wife and I talk about a better New Orleans, a better Louisiana, a better United States begins with a better Mark and Bridget. And that's how people overall see things. How does this impact me better or worse in my daily life? The other part is, if you're somebody who has to communicate with people, you got to tell people what you're going to do. You got to tell them when you're doing it. And then you got to tell them you did it. Because otherwise, everybody will forget. And they'll just make the determination for themselves.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us. Great information. Always enjoy your first of the year, you know, beginning of the year letter, and pretty spot on as usual. Mark Earhart, president of the Earhart Group. Have a great week.
You too, Newell. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about the California insurance crisis, CPI plus jobs report. What does that mean to the Fed? And we'll talk about Representative Steve Scalise's Super Bowl plan and whether we can pull that off as well. So stay with us. We will be right back with Guy Williams. This is Newell on WWL.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.